Demand for new cars and trucks remains strong despite car shoppers paying record prices. The major automakers yesterday reported mixed sales figures for December here in the U.S., helped in part by large consumer discounts. That's those incentives aimed at moving vehicles off dealer lots by the end of the year. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Detroit Auto Show kicks off next week, and we'll also get a sneak peek on what the buzz is about for 2018. Jamie Page Deaton is the managing automotive editor at U.S. News and World Report. She's also a North American Car and Truck of the Year juror. Jamie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. We saw a couple of news stories last week that said the end of the year is always the best time to score a deal on a new car. Now that we're a few days into 2018, that window perhaps is somewhat closed, but you told us that there are still opportunities to be had?
Yeah, there are still some times where you can get a good deal on a new car. And especially if you're committed to getting a new car this month, what you want to do is really focus in your shopping on segments of the market that aren't in demand. That means that if you've had your eye on a new sports car, January is the time to buy because typically demand is really, really low and you can get a bigger discount than if you went shopping in June. Other segments that'll have bigger discounts this month are just car segments, particularly the more fuel efficient and smaller cars. And that's just been a general trend for the last, about 18 months or so, because consumer demand has really been focused around SUVs and crossovers and trucks because gas prices have been low. That means that automakers are having a hard time moving their small cars, sedans, and hybrids. So if you're, have had your eye on a Prius for a really long time, you can go and you can get a pretty good discount on it right now, especially when you compare to what you'd spend on, a new SUV or a new truck.
When are some other good times to buy a car?
So you want to buy towards the end of the month. That's usually when, we have a data partner called TrueCar and they track actual transaction prices for car sales. So that's not, the list price. That's what people are actually paying. And they found that towards the end of the month, you tend to get a slight dip in transaction prices. And that's because, car dealers have monthly goals that they're trying to hit. If you go in on the first, well, it's a fresh new day for them. The calendar's turned over. So they're less likely to deal. But if you go in on the 30th or the 31st, well, there's a little bit more of an incentive for them to maybe cut you a deal so they can move the number of models that month that they're trying to move. Other good times to go are directly after major weather events. It's a great time. Yeah, if there's a big snowstorm, what we typically see in that month is a decline in sales because people are just unable to get to the dealership. And I will say it does make it a little bit more of a pain to shop for a car after a big snow because, of course, all the cars on the dealer lots are covered in snow.
And who wants to test drive when there's a lot of snow on the road?
Well, if you live in an area where you get a lot of snow, doing a test drive when there is a lot of snow might be a great idea. But that is a good time. If there's a big snowstorm, say at the beginning of the week, maybe go that weekend and check out and see what kind of deals the dealer's offering because, they've lost a lot of business that week and they'll be looking to make up ground. But generally speaking, if you're looking for a new car in 2018, the absolute best time to go shop for it is the week between Christmas and New Year's. So if you're thinking, my car's on its last legs, and you can make it last the year and start saving up money, go between Christmas and New Year's. That's when we see the absolute biggest discounts, on
Why
average.
Why is that?
There's just there's a couple of forces. One is there's very little traffic to dealerships that week. Everybody's out with family, everybody's on vacation, everybody's traveling. Not a lot of people are thinking about buying a car. The other part of it is it's not only the end of the month of December, it's the end of the year. So that's the dealer's last chance to make their sales goals, not just for the month, but for the year. And on top of that, it's also the last chance for automakers to make their sales goals. And so they can really heap on the discounts and incentives that week because it's just a perfect storm for consumers. There's very low demand and very high, incentive for dealers to cut you a deal.
Are we talking in the thousands of dollars?
It really does depend on the car. But for example, we've seen deals in December on the Ram 1500 pickup where the first incentive offered by Ram was $12,000 off the price of a truck. So it really is, and that's before any negotiation.
Wow.
So you can really do pretty well. I mean, something that's a little bit more popular that has, really high sales gains. Like for example, the Honda CR-V is a great, extremely popular small SUV. That one you're not going to be able to get quite as many discounts on, but you'd still do better in that week between Christmas and New Year's than if you, went at, say, Memorial Day weekend when everybody's out shopping for a car.
What about Black Friday? Do dealers get in on that?
They do get in on that. The issue there is that so do a lot of shoppers. Mm-hmm. So, that's an area where car companies have really started advertising the sales and discounts. So they've trained consumers to say, okay, that is a good time to buy a car. And anytime the automakers kind of primed you to expect that you're going to get a deal, it's not necessarily the best time to get a deal. It's those kind of secret deal days that you want to focus on. And we've actually at, usnews.com/cars, we've put out a piece recently that is just about, the 8 best times a year to buy a car. The Black Friday deals, they tend to be pretty good. You'll get some discounts, but you'll be able to layer the discounts that the automaker's offering on top of a stronger negotiation if you wait more towards the end of the year, end of the month.
Jamie Page Deaton is the managing automotive editor at U.S. News and World Report. She's also a North American Car and Truck of the Year juror. You can join this conversation about car shopping, 800-642-1234. Are you in the market for a new car this year? What kind of vehicle do you have your eye on? What questions do you have about car buying? You can join us at 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Jamie, buying a new vehicle is a pretty involved process with the pressure from the sales end of it all, salespeople, the negotiating, paperwork is there. You suggest we do as much of the work as we can before even setting foot in the dealership. Can you walk us through what we can do in advance?
Oh, absolutely. You can do almost everything in advance. You really, as a smart consumer, you really have no excuse for going into the dealership uninformed. So really start from the beginning, even when you're deciding which car you want to buy. We do at U.S. News, we do our automotive rankings, which are very similar to the very well-known U.S. News college rankings. But you can go in and say, all right, I'm in the market for a midsize SUV. I need 3 rows of seats. And we've got rankings lists of all of the cars in that class. And they're based on the consensus opinion of the automotive press, not just our editor's opinions. So once you decide on the car that you want to buy, say narrow it down to like 3 that you're going to test drive, go ahead into the dealership, make it very, very clear you're not buying that day. Go through test drive, decide which one you actually want to buy, decide which trim, which options and features you're going to get. And then what you want to do is you want to price out the car online. Now, it used to be that, consumers were not in a very good position for figuring out what a fair price for the car was. Now there are so many pricing services that you should be able to tell. Another thing that we have is we have a pricing curve from TrueCar where you can go to our site, you can type in your zip code, you can put in the car and the exact trim and options that you want, and you can see what people in your area are paying for that car. And it'll recommend a good price, a great price, or the price that you can expect to pay. Because tracking in live time, for what people are paying is the best way to understand, all right, what's demand for this car, what discounts and incentives are available. And then from there, you should really be bringing financing to the dealership. Don't depend on the dealer to get you financing because they may not get you the best deal. If you go to your bank and your credit union and you get your financing, you don't necessarily have to use it. You can take that to the dealer and say, okay, these are the terms you have to beat. The other thing that you should do is if you have a trade-in, get a really good idea of how much it's worth well before you step into the dealership. And that can mean, going and getting it assessed at, maybe another dealer. It can mean doing research on used car listings in your area. But just figure out what's a fair offer from the dealer for your trade-in. And those are really the things that you should know in advance. How much is a good or a good price for the car you want to buy, how much your trade-in is worth, and what financing you're able to get. If you have those 3 things lined up and you know them before you go into the dealer, really the pressure's off. Because those are the 3 questions you really have to answer once you've decided which car you're going to get. And then the 4th thing that I'd really recommend is this is a business transaction. I know it's really hard. You know, a lot of people, and I've done this for sure, you get emotionally invested in buying a car because you're going to spend a lot of time in it. You know, some of our identity is tied up in the car that we drive, and you're also spending thousands of dollars. So it is a recipe for getting kind of wound up, particularly if you feel like the deal's not going your way. And just the best piece of advice I have is just step back and treat it like a business transaction, or treat it like, you know, a transaction that you're doing at work.
Jamie Page Deaton is with us. She is the managing automotive editor at U.S. News and World Report and a North American Car and Truck of the Year juror. You can join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. Are you in the market for a new car this year? What kind of vehicle do you have your eye on? How do you feel about sharing the road with driverless vehicles? Your thoughts, 800-642-1234. We'll be back after a news update. In love with your car, incentives to get you behind the wheel, they're at an all-time high. Discounts in excess of 10% of a vehicle's sticker price are considered unhealthy for resale values. And in December, the consulting firm J.D. Power estimated discounts had surpassed 10% for the 17th time in the last 18 months. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The deals on new vehicles, they're out there. We have expertise this hour from Jamie Page Deaton. She is the managing automotive editor at U.S. News and World Report and a North American Car and Truck of the Year juror. You can join in on your vehicle purchasing questions at 800-642-1234. Are you car shopping in 2018? What brings you to the market? What about Tesla? Should Wisconsin allow Tesla to open dealerships in the state? 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's go to Ron, who joins us from Reedsburg. Hi, Ron.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
See, I was curious to what time of the year would be the best time for like heavy duty trucks, like 3/4 ton, 1 ton trucks to buy.
And Ron, what are you in the market for, namely in that 3/4 ton, 1 ton truck arena?
I haven't made up my mind on any of the makes. I'm just looking at those heavy duty trucks to see. And I'm thinking in 2018 to buy one, but I just was curious what time of year is a good time to buy those.
Yeah, Jamie, go ahead.
Yeah, so not now, Ron. Now is not a good time to buy a heavy-duty truck because this is when you have a lot of people, you know, buying them for business purposes. You know, it's good plowing season, so it's a good time to get a heavy-duty truck and start a business there. But if you're looking for the biggest discounts, first of all, it's going to be tough to get. That is a really hot segment right now. Anytime gas prices are low, truck prices tend to stay high because people can, you know, drive one without too much of an impact on their wallet week to week when they go to fuel it up. But interestingly, May tends to be a pretty good time to buy a car that month for whatever reason, because there tends to be a little bit of a start and shift in consumer preference there, where people are moving away from big SUVs. They've forgotten winter weather, and so they start to shift slightly more towards cars. So you're probably not going to get a huge discount, but start looking in May. The other time that is a good time with it is in the fall. That's when automakers start shifting model years. So they don't follow the same calendar that we do. I mean, automakers have had cars from the 2018 model year out since, you know, September, in some cases since March of last year. But if you just track and see, you know, once you decide which heavy duty truck you want to buy, track and see when it's poised to flip model years. And then you can get a really good deal on the 2018 once the 2019 starts hitting dealer lots, because those dealers will be anxious to clear out their older inventory.
Ron, thank you so much for the call and good luck with that. Well, Jamie, my colleague, show producer, and I, we're feeling pretty smug because we followed your car buying advice. I know in our minivan purchase, we sent out emails to dealers once we knew exactly what we wanted. We sent out bid requests, if you will, to five or six dealers in a driving distance. We ended up going with the best price that was across the border at the time, a three-hour drive, but making a day of it to go get the brand new car. It was really fun. But one of the replies from the dealers was really interesting to me. They said, your method of shopping takes all of the fun out of the car purchase for us because we have to reveal, you know, the lowest price we can go with you.
Yeah.
What are your insights on that?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. For the longest time, consumers were really at a disadvantage against dealers, and dealers were able to turn that to their advantage. And I certainly, you know, don't say that to blame the dealers. They're in business. They're in business to make as much money as possible. It would be irresponsible of them, you know, to give you a good deal just because. And so with, you know, the proliferation of online, you know, car sites and the clarity of more pricing information and, you know, the ability to say, okay, I'm going to email five or six dealers and just go with the best deal. That really took a lot of the power out of the dealer's hands because it used to be, you know, that you had maybe the one dealer in your town and you'd go and that would be it. They were the only game. But now you're able to really shop around and, you know, maybe drive 3 hours, which is actually a great plan and a great way to do it. Because if you figure out, okay, I'm saving $2,000, right, on this car. Yeah, I'm willing to drive 6 hours round trip. My time's not worth any more than that. And you can end up getting a much better deal just by doing it.
And we came with the check in hand to the penny. So there, it wasn't about the figuring out any type of negotiation. We knew exactly what to have that check made out for.
Yep.
And when we picked up the vehicle, it was more about getting accustomed to the car and going through what to know about it and all the settings and everything like that. Mm-hmm. More of the fun stuff.
Exactly. And, you know, too, the other thing with that is this is the direction that car buying is going in. And dealers, what we've seen is dealers really fight this at their peril. People are expecting or looking for a more kind of retail car buying experience than they have in the past, where you're smart enough to email ahead of time and then you're able to kind of control the pace of the negotiation. You can walk away from your computer if you find that you're getting, you know, emotional about it or upset about it. Or you can simply say, no, that's not for me, without having to actually get up and walk out of a dealership, which is really hard to do, and dealers are counting on it being hard to do. But now what we're really seeing is people looking for a more kind of store experience at, or I guess probably a better way to explain it is kind of a Best Buy experience, where the price is there, you know what you're going to pay, and you just want somebody to walk you around the car and walk you around the purchase, you know, help you decide without necessarily having to think about, you know, how am I going to pay for it or what am I going to pay for it. And it leads to an experience that consumers are much happier with. But there are going to be some dealers who really have to change how they do business in order to make it in this new market.
But then how does customer service play into this new world that we're in with making deals and buying a new car?
Well, I mean, the making deals aspect of it, I think, is going to go away quite a bit. One thing that a lot of car companies are trying is they don't do traditional. They're not doing traditional dealerships. They're doing more stores. That's what you see Tesla doing in other states. And actually, Lincoln is an automaker that started doing this as well, where they have Lincoln stores, and you can't buy the car there. But you can go and get a walk around. You can, you know, get a glass of champagne while you're learning about the car. You can learn about the services that they offer. And then when the time comes, glass of champagne, because you're not test driving. You're just learning about the car. And it's more about having a luxurious experience. And then when you're ready to buy, you know, the price is already set. You don't have to worry about it. And what car makers are trying to do is they're trying to mimic kind of the online shopping experiences that people get, where you know exactly what you're going to pay, and it's more about the experience and less about the transaction.
Here, I want to run you by this with that going along that champagne train of thought. I happened to find myself at a swank hotel over the Christmas holiday. Not a normal place I would normally be, but at the hotel, you could test drive BMWs.
Exactly.
You just had to go to the concierge and say, I'd like to test drive whatever I wanted to test drive in any of the BMW models. What's up with that?
Well, it's the same kind of trend that we're seeing, where it's more about building experiences and building brand loyalty and less about, oh gosh, I have to go down to the dealer and I'm haggling and I'm so stressed. There's going to be a high pressure sales environment. If, you know, BMW can connect with you when you're relaxed, you're at a swanky hotel, you're going to associate that experience with their brand. Buick has a program where they bring in celebrity chefs and they have this cooking tour and they bring in prospective drivers just to kind of hang out, eat some good food. And yeah, there are a couple of Buicks parked out front and you can take them for a spin or you can go and just kind of crawl around them and see if they work for you. But it's really more about building kind of brand affinity than it is about a high pressure sales tactic. Like, what's it going to take to get you in this car today?
Jamie Page Deaton is with us. She's managing automotive editor at U.S. News and World Report. You can join this conversation about car shopping 800-642-1234. What car models are you curious about? Is there something new in the market that you want to bounce off of her? How do you negotiate when you buy a car? Fill us in on your strategy, 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Jamie, in less than 2 weeks now, the North American International Auto Show in Detroit, as we know, the Detroit Auto Show will begin. You wrote a piece last year about how even if you're not a big gearhead, we should all still care about car shows. Why is that?
Well, it's a good opportunity for people to go to a car show and shop with no salespeople around. So you can really, you know, put your kids in all the seats, really push all the bells and whistles and learn about the brand and figure out, all right, this is a good car for me, again, without a salesperson going, you know, let's talk financing, let me appraise your trade, that kind of thing. It's a good low pressure shopping environment. And it lets you familiarize yourself with what's going on in the marketplace. You know, most people now, they're hanging onto their cars for a really long time. I think the average age of a car on American roads is something like 11 years. So, you know, within the past even 3 years, the technology available on new cars has radically changed. And what that means is if you're not real familiar with what you're able to get on a new car, and then you walk into the dealership, they're going to be able to start throwing a lot of, you know, techno jargon on, you know, at you. And you're not going to know what the features are. You're not going to know how they work. And you're not going to know if they're worth paying extra for or if they really matter to you. So going into an auto show and familiarizing yourself with what's newly available is a great way to do it. And also, you know, they're just a lot of fun. The automakers put up really fun activities for people to do. There's virtual reality, so you can take a virtual test drive. One of my favorite ones that Ford always does is Ford has their Ford Raptor, which is basically a monster off-road pickup truck. And they have a virtual reality where you can go off-roading in it and your seat moves and you watch people in it. They've got the goggles on and their chairs are bouncing up and down because they're mechanized to the computer program. Jeep usually has what they call Camp Jeep, which is a indoor off-road course that they take people through. And you can also look at all, you know, the new safety features, all the autonomous driving features, which, you know, again, if you haven't bought a car within the last 3 to 5 years, are going to be mostly new to you. And it's something to familiarize yourself with to make sure it's something that you want to get before you step into the dealership. So you're in that strong, educated position before you shop.
Let's go to Kim, who joins us from Milwaukee. Hi, Kim. Go ahead, Kim. Oh, Kim is, are you there, Kim, one more time?
Hi.
Hi. Yeah, go ahead.
I just would like to make a comment on the comment just before the last one about the dealerships, BMW. I actually drive a BMW, and actually BMW of Milwaukee North, they actually host every 3 months where you can come in and see new gadgets or new features that people are having a hard time figuring out on a car because it's like an ultimate machine. And I like to say, you know, that's a good thing for the consumers. And for me, I really appreciate that because I can go in every so often and check out the new gadgets on a car. So thank you.
Wow. So some technical schooling every few months from BMW. Jamie?
Yeah, that is not only, you know, like Kim mentioned, that's a great service for the consumer, but it's also a great marketing point for the dealer because they've got you coming back every 3 months. And that means that when you see, you know, you go in for one of their one of the events and you see something that's, you know, just kind of whiz bang new, you've got to have it. You're going to buy a new car. As opposed to if you just bought your car and were happy with it and driving it around for years, you might not set foot back in the dealership. So that's a good way for dealers to increase the number of times people buy a car over the over their lifespan, you know, where instead of buying one maybe every 5 years, you go to the events of the dealership and maybe you're buying one every 3 years. And that's a big win for them.
Kim, thanks for the call. Let's go to Mike now, who joins us from Coon Valley. Hi, Mike. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Watching, you know, commercials on TV, and it seems like every new car out there has won 5 different awards. And how do you figure out what awards actually mean anything when you want to look at, you know, the best car out there?
Oh, that is a really good question, Mike. I'm really glad you asked that. Where to figure out kind of what awards matter for you is you should be, most awards are coming from publications. And you should really line up with the publication that matches your needs. So for example, if you're just looking for a car to commute in, maybe drive your kids around in, the Motor Trend Car of the Year award is probably not for you, because that is an enthusiast publication. And they're really interested in, you know, just hammering a car on twisty back roads and just having a great driving experience. But you know, if you look at a publication like, you know, Consumer Reports or U.S. News, if you're just looking for a good commuter car, those publications are more in line, because they're looking and serving more of just the everyday mainstream car buyer. So that's step one. Step two is you can do a little bit of research on the awards and figure out what the methodology for producing the winners are. Because in some cases, you know, it's just the editors of that publication, they go out and they test it. In other cases, you know, there's a voting jury made up from people of a bunch of different publications. I'm on the North American Car and Truck of the Year jury, and we have 60 jurors from publications all across North America, some from enthusiast publications, some from mainstream consumer-focused publications. And there's a very strict voting system. There are very strict ethics rules that we all have to follow to make sure that, you know, nobody's votes can be bought or anything like that. So do a little bit of your research on the awards. But then the most important thing I would say is use the awards as a jumping off point, because nobody knows your needs better than you do. So if you see a car has won an award and it's a pretty good award, and you think, you know, that it lines up with your needs, still, you know, don't buy the car just because it won the award. Instead, make the award a reason to put that car on your short list, and then go out and really put it through its paces yourself. Do a really thorough test drive and make sure that it's actually going to work for you. And just again, the awards are just a starting point. They're a good indicator that, yeah, this is a pretty good car. It should be on your short list, but ultimately the final call should be based on what you find.
Mike, thank you so much for the call. Jim from Cedarburg emailed and asks, when do you think we'll see a light pickup truck that's electric or at least a hybrid?
Oh, gosh, there is. It's not a mass market one, Jim, but if you look at Bollinger Motors, they have an all-electric SUV that you can convert into a pickup truck. It's not in production yet, but they displayed it at the Los Angeles Auto Show this year. And I have to say, it was the coolest car I've probably seen in like the last 3 or 4 years, because it looks like it's so boxy. It looks like a cross between like a Series 1 Land Rover and an old, you know, 1970s Ford Bronco. And you can take the back cab off and use it as a pickup. And it was really, really cool. But in general, from mainstream automakers, I know Tesla has, you know, which isn't exactly mainstream, you know, they promised to bring out a pickup truck in the next few years. I'll believe it when I see it. But there's really not a lot of incentives for automakers to bring out a hybrid or all-electric pickup truck, because gas prices are so low. So there just isn't consumer demand for it.
We're talking with Jamie Page Deaton. You can join the conversation, 800-642-1234. What cars are you curious about? How do you negotiate when you buy a car? What questions do you have for Jamie? She's managing automotive editor at U.S. News and World Report. Fill us in on your car shopping status when we return after a news update. And analysts don't anticipate new car sales this year will reach 17 million vehicles, which was just achieved for a third straight year and only the fifth time in history. But 2018 is shaping up to be a healthy year for vehicle sales. Is the advantage with the car buyer or the car dealer? It depends. We're getting to the bottom of that on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The tax code overhaul might help offset the interest rate hikes expected this year by prolonging an era of car buyers opting to buy new instead of used cars. Jamie Page Deaton stays with us as our guide. She's the managing automotive editor at U.S. News & World Report and a North American Car and Truck of the Year juror. You can ask about your car shopping questions, 800-642-1234. Are you in the market for an SUV or a truck? Are you thinking about larger vehicles or smaller vehicles as your next car purchase? How do you feel about driverless? 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's go to Natalie now, who joins us from Eau Claire. Hi, Natalie.
Hi. My husband and I signed a 3-year lease on a Toyota Corolla about a year ago, and I'm just wondering what tips and insight you have into deciding in 2 years when our lease is up whether we should buy the leased vehicle that we have, buy a totally different vehicle, or go back to buying used, which is what we've always done.
Okay, Natalie, it totally depends on your goals, but I would say at the end of the lease, do not buy the car. That is a terrible idea, because what happens there is you've paid, you know, for the lease for 3 years, so you've paid for the car for 3 years, and then you're probably going to get another loan to pay for it at the end of the lease, and you'll end up paying much, much more for the car than you would normally do, because you're paying interest on the lease, and then when you finance to purchase the car, say for another 5 years, because that's about average car length or loan for length for a car loan right now, you're going to be paying, you know, for the car for 8 years. Even if you get a lower or a shorter term loan, you're going to be paying for the car for 6 years, which is really ends up costing you a lot in terms of interest payments. But whether you buy or lease the next car after that, it's really up to your goals. For leasing, it's a good Leasing is a good deal for people who like a new car every few years, for people who don't drive a whole lot, because if you go over the mileage restrictions on a lease, it will cost you a ton of money. And they're really good options for people who are looking to manage their monthly payment and keep them low, because when you're leasing a car, you're only paying for a portion of the car's price. So if you've leased a Corolla, and, you know, for 3 years, instead of, say, paying $20,000 for the car as if you were purchasing it, you might only pay $5,000 for it because you're only paying for the depreciation between the 3 years that you own it. So that's a good way if it's more about managing your monthly budget. For long-term financial health, though, the best way to really handle that is to buy a used car, pay it off, and drive it into the ground. Because there, you're not paying for a car every few years. You know, if you lease, yeah, you've got a low monthly payment, but every 3 years you're having to get a new car and that monthly payment never goes away. If you buy a good used car, yeah, you might be paying for it for 5 years, but if you drive it for 7, that's 2 years of free transportation, or essentially free. You know, obviously you've got gas and insurance, but essentially free transportation right there, because you don't have the interest payments that you would have as if you were, you know, leasing or still had a car payment for buying. So if you want to continue to manage and have low monthly payments and you like having a new car every few years, continue leasing, you know, lease a new Corolla after you're done with this one. But if you are really looking to make a smart financial move, find a good used car, get as, you know, short a loan as you can, pay it off as quickly as you can, and then drive that car until it dies.
Well, Natalie, good luck. Thank you so much for the call. Jamie, you've also been talking about vehicle subscription services in which people can pay a monthly fee to drive any vehicle in a manufacturer's fleet. Can you tell us about the pros and cons of this arrangement?
Yeah, this is a trend that a lot of automakers are just starting to get into. And it's built on the success of car sharing services that you see in a lot of urban areas. And also on the fact that cars are getting so expensive now. They're getting out of reach for a lot of people to actually purchase. A subscription service gets people into their cars, but at an affordable monthly rate. And basically what it is you pay, and now first I should say this is right now available only from luxury brands, but you pay a set monthly amount, and you basically can, like you said, drive any car in the lineup. Insurance is included, so you know exactly what you're going to pay. In some cases, they'll drop the car off at your house and pick it up. Lincoln has a service where they'll actually send a driver on days where you need one. So, you know, if you've had too much to drink, they'll send a driver to drive you home in your car, or if you have even, you know, an eye doctor appointment, they'll send a driver to take you to and from there. And the benefits for consumers is, you know, people really think about this as a kind of similar to, you know, your cell phone contract, where, you know, you get an upgrade every so often, or you can try different phones in the lineup. You're paying a monthly rate, but it gives you ultimate flexibility. So, for example, Jaguar has one of these services, and I think it's about, now, you know, because it's Jaguar, it is about $1,200 a month. But that's not all that different than what you'd pay to lease some Jaguar models. And it means that if you have like a hot date, you can get in a sports car. But if you've got family coming in, you can get in an SUV. You want to impress your boss.
Oh, you have flexibility.
Yeah, you've got the flexibility for what you need. I would really like to see these. I think it would be interesting and a great consumer benefit if they moved into more mainstream models. So, oh, moving this weekend? Okay, I better make sure I have a truck. But for my regular commute, I'm going to drive this small car that's good on gas mileage. And, oh, we've got a road trip coming up, you know, let's get into a minivan. It offers consumers a lot of flexibility, doesn't tie you down with driving or tie you down to owning a car for the long term. And as circumstances change, you know, you can adjust with it. And this is really something that consumers seem to be interested in. It'll be interesting to see if, you know, it's enough of a paradigm shift that enough people can actually get their heads around it. Because a lot of people really like owning their cars. But for people who are more flexible and aren't as tied to the idea of ownership, it could be a really great option.
Let's go to Brian now, who's in Superior. Hi, Brian.
Hi. I drive a lot of miles, and hybrid cars, when they're new, are very expensive and they get really good mileage. On the other hand, gasoline cars, like I bought a Toyota Corolla 5-speed manual, it gets really good mileage in the high 30s and in the summers in the 40s. But no one ever talks about high mileage gasoline-only cars. You've really got to hunt around to get the information. It seems like it's a great thing. And what do you think?
I think you're exactly right. The reason that nobody's talking about them right now is because gas prices are so low that there's not a lot of consumer demand for high mileage gas cars, because people say, well, I can get into this big, comfortable SUV. But there are a number of cars out there that get absolutely incredible gas mileage. And when you sit down and you do the math on, you know, the cost to drive 1 mile, a lot of hybrids can lose out to these because, as you noted, their starting price tends to be a lot higher. Now, that's before any, you know, discounts or incentives that you get or any negotiation that you're able to do. But for example, the Mazda 3 can get up to 42 miles to the gallon, and it's just a gas-only car, which is really, you know, for a gas car, nearly unheard of. There are a number of Subarus that you can also get 40 miles to the gallon with, you know, all-wheel drive, which is incredibly good. Now, you do need to modify, you know, to get this best mileage, you might have to modify your driving behavior a little bit, you know, no hot rodding. But if you're looking for a car and fuel economy is really your biggest concern, you're not just stuck with only hybrids. You should expand to look at high mileage gasoline cars too. And the other thing too is it's very easy to search for cars by gas mileage. You know, I mentioned that we have the U.S. News car rankings. You can actually sort the rankings so that you only sort by gas mileage. So you only look at the cars with the best mileage in the class. And that's a really good way to kind of focus your shopping if that's what's important to you.
Brian, thank you so much for that call. And we had Mark on Facebook who says, I heard Ford is coming out with a hybrid F-150 or Ranger in 2019-2020. Is that right?
It's not confirmed. So it's one of those, the automotive industry loves rumors and they love innuendo and they love spy shots. It's not confirmed yet. So it's really, I would take that with a grain of salt. I wouldn't be holding your breath for it. If you are looking for a hybrid truck though, around 2007, I think to 2011, Chevy actually made a hybrid Silverado and GMC made a hybrid Sierra. The gas mileage was not great. I think when people think hybrid, they expect automatically 50 miles to the gallon. But those trucks did have a number of interesting features where you could actually run power tools from outlets in the bed because the car had such a big battery system. So it's great if you have to do a lot of, you know, outdoor work with power tools far away from a power source. But there's no confirmed hybrid or electric Ranger from Ford yet. But you never know. They've got a lot of surprises planned at, you know, the Detroit Auto Show coming up. So maybe they'll bring it out then.
Jamie, name drop for us, if you will. Models you are keeping an eye on in 2018 that we should also, that should be on our radar for car shopping.
All right. So if you're looking at a car, the Honda Accord for 2018, it's totally redesigned and it is absolutely excellent. They really moved the benchmark for the affordable midsize class. And then one you might not think of, if you're really an enthusiast driver, you like to just go out on a Sunday drive and really just attack the curves, the Kia Stinger. It's a luxury sports sedan from Kia, which I know seems like a little bit of a surprise to a lot of people. But I tested this one directly after testing a BMW M550. And for less than a third of the money, the Kia was 90% as good. So it's a great kind of sleeper sports sedan deal that you should be looking at. When it comes to SUVs, the Volvo XC60 is an excellent one. It's got all these high-tech safety features. You can get a hybrid version, which gets absolutely incredible fuel economy. And you can drive on electric power alone for, you know, 30 miles or so, which is absolutely excellent. And then the other ones to look at if you're looking for a big SUV, the Ford Expedition and the Lincoln Navigator are both so, so good. They both have three rows of seats. The Lincoln Navigator is really, really pricey, but it's worth every penny, and it really represents a resurgence of the Lincoln brand. The Expedition is just a great, easy-to-drive three-row SUV, which is surprising because a lot of these cars do take a lot of extra attention and, you know, are a pain to park, but the Ford Expedition has self-parking, so it's a little bit less of an issue. But even, you know, it drives smaller than it is, and if you're looking for something that can, you know, handle a lot of passengers, you know, up to seven of them, I had actually over Christmas, I had my in-laws and my kids and my husband in a Ford Expedition. Everybody was very, very comfortable. Everybody had plenty of space, and it's, you know, has great towing ability. It's got four-wheel drive, so if you really need to go someplace remote, or if you are towing a heavy boat or an RV, it really is just a great option for people there. And those are kind of the models I would say to really watch. Ford also has
Jamie, we're going to have to leave it right there, but this has been so much fun. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
Jamie Page Deaton is the managing automotive editor at U.S. News and World Report. She's also a North American Car and Truck of the Year juror. This hour was produced by Bill Martins and Keely Baltina. Michelle Johnson is executive producer. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and this is the Ideas Network. You